Blog Talk Radio.
Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like no sheikins and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride vans and say MC for hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face. Then you got them rappers with that cold broke face. They toured around the world, then they going no place. My KRS One moves at his own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frying.
Do you think
they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they're really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they're ready for you now? Thinking me, I say impeccable, running circles around these intellectuals. What a spectacle. They get mad when I say I and God are identical. You better get on your knees and praise them. These conspiracy theory rappers, I blaze them too. Ooh, deja vu. You seen this all before me, slaying your crew. I'm known by all the kids. I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did. People don't stop calling Chris for gigs, cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid. Me getting booed? Shit. I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot. Me and the ice can't get close.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame, but the airwaves is a shame, and the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we're insane, like we are to blame for society's pain, like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn early? So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming.
The man you're about to see in here, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4. I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along.
Every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, liberty. Let our rejoice and rise high.
Burning the time.
Loud as the door to see ya.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our home ownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
You know we gotta do the show on it. We know we gotta do the show on them.
She walked in the court, her knees buckled, saying for a man to survive, he need hustle. Seen and been through struggle her whole life, made the transition from being his hoe to his wife. Stifling, the night had been the ATF busting. Her daddy was a hustler, so she loved him. Looked at the jury, how can they judge him? She screamed. In her chest, her face with tears, had a man's back, he was facing years, in her name, though the place was his, they trying to take everything except the kids, for years she been through scuffle and fights, while he trying to hustle that white, up all night, wondering if he's alive, seeing him try, she bubbled inside and screamed. Judge yelled for order, court reporter making her words shorter. His lawyer sat next to him. She could see how the trial was affecting him. It hurt for her eyes to connect with him. Using her lies for protecting him. They arrested him for murder and gun possession. As they read back her confession, she screamed. Got the verdict from the bailiff, emotional outburst, tears and smear makeup. It stated he was guilty on all charges. She's shaking, looking like she took it the hardest. A spin artist, she brought her face up laughing. That's when the prosecutor realized what happened. All that speaking of mind, testifying and crying. When this bitch did the crime, the queenpin.
Hello and welcome to Common Sense TV. I'm your host, the Doctor of Common Sense and the Junkyard Dog. they have indicted Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife, and it is a tragic day in America. I mean tragic. This is a tragedy. Now, I don't understand why Jesse Jr. has to go to jail, because it's not his fault that the money was calling his name. I mean, the boy went to sleep, and when he went to sleep, the money woke him up and said, Jesse, rise and spend me. It wasn't his fault. I mean, if you ask his daddy, he'll tell you it wasn't Jesse's fault. Jesse Jackson Sr., could you explain to the folks what really happened? Well, it's not Jesse's fault. Let me tell you, it's the white man making Jesse take the money. They put the money in front of Jesse. Jesse had to take the money. The money called his name at night. The money called his name when he traveled. The money made his mistress need that watch and other things. It's not Jesse's fault. I think we should sue the white man for making Jesse take the money. That's what we should do. Can't I get an amen? I'm sick of the oppression and suppression and rejection and subjection of the black man. Jesse is innocent. I'm telling you, the white man is to blame for putting the money in Jesse's hand. They knew he was bipolar. If he is bipolar, he very well can't be blamed for this. It's not his fault. White man need to stop oppressing the colored. We're still at the back of the bus. Jesse Jr. needs to get off because the white man put the money in front of him. Thank you, Jesse Jackson Sr. See, that's the mentality of the liberal mindset, especially Jesse Jackson. See, personally, I think it's the money's fault. Because Jesse Jackson Jr., the money should have known that he was going to steal it. You know, just like the gun caused people to shoot innocent people, we ban guns, we should ban money. That's the problem. If we had banned money, Jesse Jackson Jr. would never be in trouble if we just banned the money. No more money in America, damn it. Let's get money control. We start banning the money, we don't have to worry about the black man being oppressed by these white folks trying to force them to steal money. Now, let's ban money. I'm on a crusade. I'm going to get all the Hollywood actors and actresses to go on a crusade and make videos about how money is bad. We should ban it because it's causing people of color to steal the money. Now, we know they're not the only one. As a matter of fact, it's some white people that just stole some money, too. So I think, on that note, Jesse Jackson Jr. shouldn't have to go to jail because some white people got off, too. This is the logic I want to use to defend my client, Jesse Jackson Jr. His wife put a lot of pressure on him to keep up with the Joneses. And in order to keep up with the Joneses, he had to steal the money. How you think he gonna get his house redecorated if he don't steal the money? Now, you people are being unreasonable. As a matter of fact, he should get a bonus because he only sold $750,000. Now, that technically makes him a rich guy because Barack Obama said anybody making $250,000 or more was rich. So we're not going to get him on tax evasion and stealing the money. We're going to get him for being too damn rich. You need to be taxed, son, because you were stealing too much money and made yourself rich. And you know we are at war with the rich. Now, why aren't the media not saying anything about this rich, spoiled brat who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth? You know Jesse Jr. would not have been elected if it wasn't for his daddy? Now, come on now. This is nepotism. Now, Jesse was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He's a rich, spoiled kid. Why don't the media say this? He stole the money because he's spoiled and rich. His daddy had been ripping up. You know his daddy's a professional pimp. and he's been pimping, getting money for years. And then he, matter of fact, why did Jesse Jackson Sr. Ever go to jail for any? I know that boy's got to have been done something to be stealing or something. It ain't fair for Jesse Jr. to go to jail and Jesse Sr. gets to stay out. As a matter of fact, let's make Jesse Sr. the sacrificial lamb for Jesse Jr. Come on, Jesse. You need to at least go to jail for your son. Take the sins of your son upon you, my brother. Jesse Jackson Sr., would you be the sacrificial lamb for you?
Well, you know, I would be the sacrificial lamb, but it's not Jesse Jr.'s fault. It's the white man's fault, so therefore I can't be the sacrificial lamb. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let you suppress, oppress, depress, or depress me. Not going to happen. You may as well get another sacrificial lamb. How about let's get a white man to be the sacrificial lamb for Jesse Jr.? That sounds like a winner to me. Can I get a amen? That's what I think the problem is. The white man made Jesse steal the money. Now let him off. Matter of fact, give him a couple of $1 million.
A dramatic turn in the wheel of fortune for former Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr., pleading guilty to lavish abuse of campaign money and offering a tearful apology to his famous father. Here's ABC Senior Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
Today, Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. left court in disgrace, breaking months of silence.
It's not a proud day. I'm sorry I let everybody down.
The son of an iconic civil rights leader and one-time presidential candidate had been a rising star, even speaking at the 2008 Democratic National Convention. But today, Jackson was in court weeping as a convicted felon. He turned to his father to say, "I'm sorry." Jackson admitted to stealing $750,000 in campaign funds for personal gain. Memorabilia from Michael Jackson, Jimi Hendrix, and Bruce Lee. Furs, home furnishings, a Rolex watch worth $43,000.
Jackson now faces more than 4 years in prison as part of his guilty plea and likely will serve time.
Not a future Jackson or his father ever expected. Pierre Thomas, ABC News, Washington.
It's been a bad year for former Representative Jesse Jackson Jr., and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better anytime soon. Jackson's been charged with counts of conspiracy, making false statements, and wire fraud in relation to a scheme to use over $60,000 of campaign funds to pay for personal expenses like a gold-plated Rolex, fur coats, children's furniture, and even Michael Jackson memorabilia. Seriously. Joining us now to discuss, we've got Joseph Urban Trout, HuffPost Chicago editor. Hey, Joseph.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, Joseph.
Good to see you. So, hey. Joseph, what are the charges against Jesse Jackson Jr., and what are the details of this, plea bargain?
Well, first of all, it's $750,000.
Wow.
A lot of money, and this is dating back to 2006 here. So this is pretty huge, although it's been kind of coming down the pike for a little while. It's been rumored dating back to November since Jackson resigned from Congress, Jackson Jr., that is. And then his wife resigned last month from the city council where she served as alderman. And like you said, these are some pretty unusual purchases, at least for maybe you or I. I don't want to make any assumptions, but, you know, I'm not going out and buying $2,000 worth of Bruce Lee memorabilia repeatedly. But yeah, this is some crazy stuff now that we're seeing the specific list. And then I think it's here in Chicago, the kind of the biggest thing, seeing $750,000 itemized item by item, you know, with just all of this craziness.
It's not just, and it's not just Jackson Jr. His wife has also been involved in this, right?
That's correct. And she was his campaign manager. So she was sort of implicitly involved that way, but she's being hit with one count of false tax returns here. She faces up to 3 years in prison and a fine of up to $100,000. Then Jesse Jackson Jr. faces up to 5 years and a fine of up to $250,000 plus repaying this money. So it's really devastating, I think, to the Jackson family. You have Reverend Jesse Jackson, his father, said today that this is really a difficult and painful ordeal. So this is just kind of, this has been coming down the pike for a few months, but this is really huge today that we're seeing this list that really just puts it all into perspective.
Can you give us a few more details, too, about the list? I mean,
you know, we're giggling about it a little bit too, but I mean, just how superfluous some of this stuff seems.
I mean, so you have the memorabilia, you've got all this Michael Jackson stuff, you've got an Eddie Van Halen guitar, you've got a Malcolm X, some memorabilia there. We don't know exactly what the memorabilia is. It's not that detailed. You got some Michael Jackson stuff. Then you've got these capes. You've got a mink reversible parka that went for $1,200. You have a black and red cashmere cape, we've got a mink cashmere cap for $800. I mean, you've got a football signed by American presidents, so it's $5,000. I mean, this is some unusual stuff, but I think...
We're here this afternoon to discuss an unfortunate situation that we've seen far too often across the political landscape. Today, Jesse Jackson Jr. Pled guilty and accepted responsibility to participating in a 7-year conspiracy to defraud his political supporters of their campaign contributions to the tune of nearly $750,000. Today, Jesse Jackson Jr. pled guilty and confessed to a variety of schemes, some of them simple, some of them sophisticated. But all of them had the same common purpose. All of them were designed to further finance his exorbitant lifestyle. The guilty plea today is so tragic because it represents such wasted potential. Jesse Jackson Jr. had the drive, the ability, and the talent to be the voice of a new generation. But he squandered that talent. He exchanged that instead to satisfy his personal whims and his extravagant lifestyle. He did acknowledge responsibility today, and for that he deserves credit. He did not seek to evade responsibility during this process. He did not make excuses. He came in early, he told the truth, and he saved the taxpayers the cost of a trial. But today is his day of reckoning. Jesse Jackson Jr. will face up to 5 years in prison. He will have a guideline range of 46 to 57 months. He will have to pay back the $750,000 that he stole, starting with forfeiting the furs and the guitars and the other celebrity memorabilia that he purchased. Today is his first step toward redemption. Today we also had Jesse Jackson Jr.'s wife, Sandy Jackson, former Chicago alderman, plead guilty as well. She pled guilty to filing false returns. As part of her plea, she acknowledged failing to report $600,000 in income from the years 2005 to 2011. She acknowledged using money from her alderman campaign account as well as another political organization that she controlled for her own personal benefit. She acknowledged receiving other sources of income to her company that were not reported. And she acknowledged spending money from her husband's campaign account on personal items. Sandy Jackson faces up to 3 years in prison. She has a guideline range of 18 to 24 months and will have to pay up to $168,000 in restitution. I want to now walk through the conduct that the individuals pled guilty to today. And if you look first on the right to the exhibit, you'll see there's a diagram, and it explains this scheme. For 7 years, Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife undertook a variety of different methods to funnel money out of his reelection campaign. Most directly, the Jacksons used their campaign credit cards to run up over $580,000 in personal expenses. They bought everything from flat-screen TVs to fur coats to a fedora worn by Michael Jackson. They went to Disney World. They ate at four-star restaurants and financed their day-to-day living, purchasing things like toilet paper and a refrigerator with campaign funds. Sometimes Jesse Jackson Jr. did not use his campaign credit card and would instead simply spend money directly from his campaign account. Most notably, in 2007, he used campaign money to purchase a $43,000 gold-plated Rolex watch. At other times, Mr. Jackson went to great lengths to disguise his theft of campaign funds. He funneled about $100,000 in campaign money through either his wife's business or through one of his congressional staff members, using some of that money to renovate the $2 million Jackson home in DuPont Circle, Washington, D.C. In all, Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife converted about $750,000 for personal gain. The nature of this spending makes clear that this was not a momentary lapse of judgment. This was not a short streak of impulsive behavior. Over 7 years, the Jacksons engaged in more than 3,100 transactions for their personal gain. It is clear that Jesse Jackson became convinced that his campaign account could be used to satisfy any personal whim that he had. Mr. Jackson's theft from his congressional campaign, however, was not enough, was not sufficient to satisfy his lavish lifestyle. He also depended upon secret gifts of more than $75,000 from third parties that he often funneled through his congressional staff members or other people. And if you look on our left, you'll see a diagram that explains these transactions. For example, in 2009, he funneled cash gifts through one of his district staff members to buy a guitar that had been used by Michael Jackson and Eddie Van Halen. He also used that staff member and three other people to help pay off personal credit card debts. Keeping this enormous fraud and these cash gifts a secret required Jesse Jackson Jr. to repeatedly lie to the Federal Election Commission and to the U.S. House of Representatives on various disclosure forms. For example, when Mr. Jackson spent $1,500 of campaign funds on a porcelain collector's items from a Chicago museum, he told the FEC that the money was spent to rent out a room for a campaign fundraiser. When he spent $400 of campaign money at the Home Depot to buy supplies for his lawn, he told the FEC that the money was being used to buy equipment for his campaign office. Jesse Jackson Jr. lied many times over many years to hide this fraud from the government and, most importantly, from his constituents. It's important to remember the true victims of the Jacksons' crimes. Those victims are the American people who place their hopes and dreams in them as political officials. Those people listened as Jesse Jackson Jr. eloquently expressed their deepest aspirations. They cheered as he ascended to political office, and they prayed that his public service would somehow provide a brighter path for them. Those contributors were people of modest means, senior citizens on fixed income, auto workers, teachers, plumbers. They donated their hard-earned money so that he could, through his political movement, somehow better their lives. He betrayed their trust. He spent their money that was designed or intended to be used to further his elections on items of excess, as I explained, the Rolex watch, the fur coats, the Michael Jackson guitar. The people of Illinois' 2nd District and the American people deserve better from our political leaders. I hope that this prosecution serves as a cautionary tale for those who would seek to set aside their ideals and their integrity for personal gain. This sort of fraud is inexcusable, and it won't be tolerated, especially not in our nation's capital. I want to thank many prosecutors from my office that worked on this case, Mike Atkinson, Matthew Graves, Catherine Connolly, Anthony Saylor, did a terrific job. I want to thank the outstanding investigators from the FBI, Washington Field Office, who investigated all these financial leads, interviewed so many witnesses. Again, outstanding work. And I want to thank the investigators from the IRS Criminal Investigative Service, who again did outstanding, outstanding investigative.
Thank you. of this man. We are the real, real victims. This is the second district that follow behind a madman, some crazy man. Are they the victim? Who are the real victims? It is Sandy. Is she the victim? SSSS Sandy Jackson, is she the victim? Is Jesse the victim? Are the senior citizens who go to push every day and believe in that man, are they the victims? Or have they been duped by the crazy man?
We start tonight with the latest on the sentencing for Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife, Sandy Jackson.
That sentencing will take place tomorrow in Washington, D.C. That's where ABC 7's Ben Bradley is live tonight. Ben?
Alan, Kathy, a Jackson family friend who arrived here just a short time ago, asked for privacy and respect, saying, this is a personal matter. Of course, it's not. The former congressman and alderman pled guilty to living off his campaign fund to the tune of $750,000 and lying to the IRS about it. As for Jesse Jackson Jr.'s hope that his bipolar diagnosis may lead to a lighter prison sentence, today the Bureau of Prisons responded in a court filing by essentially saying, got bipolar? No problem. Our prison docs can treat that.
Thank you very much.
From rising star to fallen felon, Jesse Jackson Jr. is facing up to 4 years in federal prison. Tonight, his family is gathering at his father's D.C. home. Tomorrow, Jesse Jr. makes a final plea for mercy.
One of the big elements of the sentencing guidelines is acceptance of responsibility. So he has to certainly say that much to get any consideration from the judge.
In court filings asking for the full 4 years, federal prosecutors write, Jackson chose to steal hundreds of thousands of dollars despite having advantages in life and financial resources that few possess and at most can only ever dream of obtaining. Attorney Stanley Brand represented the late Congressman Dan Rostenkowski in court. He says for some defendants, sentencing day is almost a relief.
The pressure that comes from being under federal investigation for this length of time over serious matters certainly has got to take a toll.
Prosecutors want Jackson's wife, former Chicago alderman Sandy Jackson, to serve 18 months. They point out that she earned more than $340,000 in consulting fees from her husband's campaign. At the same time, the two conspired to steal and did steal from the campaign. This afternoon, her attorneys filed a letter from a D.C. food pantry that's played host to presidents. It says Mrs. Jackson can volunteer there if she's given probation. A spokesperson for the food pantry tells ABC 7 it was a form letter and she would be among 10,000 annual volunteers.
What do you say to the people in Chicago?
No,
just a quick
message. It's not a proud day. I'm sorry I let everybody down.
Much of this case has been flooded with letters asking for leniency for the Jacksons, but also she has received letters, some from members of the public who have never met the Jacksons, who say that she should throw the book at both of them for betraying their positions of prominence and the public trust. We'll find out what she decides to do about the sentencing tomorrow morning. That's latest live from Washington.
A congressman resigning today, Jesse Jackson Jr. After months of federal investigations, medical treatments, and then a win on Election Day, today an unexpected turn. Here's ABC's Sharon Alfonsi tonight.
Once a political rising star, Jesse Jackson Jr. today called it quits, sending in a letter of resignation to House Speaker John Boehner. He wrote, over the past several months, as my health has deteriorated, my ability to serve the constituents of my district has continued to diminish. The drama around Jackson began this summer when the congressman disappeared for weeks. The public, even members of his staff, didn't know where he was. Finally, in late July, the Mayo Clinic revealed Jackson was being treated there for what was later diagnosed as bipolar disorder and depression. His famous father, uncharacteristically quiet about the matter.
The fact is, the congressman is under medical supervision and is right now regaining his strength.
Jackson was released in September, then readmitted last month. His return to the clinic came amid reports that the congressman faced a federal investigation into potential misuse of campaign funds, including allegations that Jackson used thousands of dollars to redecorate his Washington, D.C. townhome and that he used $40,000 to buy a Rolex watch for a female friend. Even so, Jackson was easily reelected to the House just a few weeks ago, even though he was in the Mayo Clinic, even though he never campaigned for the job. In his resignation letter, Jackson added that, against the recommendations of my doctors, he'd hoped to return to Washington, but I now know it will not be possible.
Jackson said he is working with federal investigators and, quote, accepts responsibilities for his mistakes, but it's unclear whether his resignation was part of a reported plea deal with prosecutors. A special election will now be held to fill his seat.
A lot of people pulling for a better road ahead for him. Sharon, thanks. Happy Thanksgiving.
A lot of people are pulling for a better road ahead of him. Let's be real, people. He won an election. He won an election without even campaigning. He won an election while he was inside the Mayo Clinic. He won an election. He won an election. Just walk through it. Now, are people upset because they voted for somebody who is crazy and deranged? He did let a whole generation of people down. And that is the sad part of the story. Let's make no excuse about that. And people were disenfranchised by that. People are hurt. People believed in him. People thought that he was going to be, like the prosecutor said, the new voice. And the funny part, even among Barack Obama being elected, he still could have been that voice. You know? I mean, Barack Obama was in the Senate, you in Congress, you all could have tag teamed and had some remarkable legislation. Or could have been tied at the hips with that legislation. You could have, after Barack Obama became president, you could have still did legislation. You could have ran for governor. You have to be that way. It did not have to be that way. You did not have to betray the people. You did not betray the father's trust. Even if your father wanted to cut Barack Obama nuts off, you had to betray your father's trust. And you didn't have to fuck with the Tillmans.
Tomorrow, the most funding campaign fund.
And if the judge gives him prison time, the former congressman says he wants to spend it far from Chicago. WGN's Nancy Liu is live in the newsroom with CBS Nancy. Well, Dina, with prison time quite likely, the former congressman is aiming to serve at facilities in either Alabama or North Carolina to allow his family to visit somewhat conveniently from Washington. Jackson Jr. is said to be sentenced at 8:30 tomorrow morning, Chicago time. And his wife, Sandy, will learn her fate about an hour later. Jackson pled guilty to misusing $750,000 of his campaign funds, and federal prosecutors have recommended a four-year sentence. Sandy Jackson pled guilty to filing false tax returns and could face up to 18 months. Their defense lawyer filed a request yesterday indicating that the former congressman's first preference is the federal prison camp in Montgomery, Alabama. It's the closest facility to Washington. Jackson's second choice is considered the crown jewel in the federal prison system. The Federal Correctional Institution in Butler, North Carolina, has a college campus feel and includes a medical center. Butler is currently home to former Chicago Police Commander John Burge and convicted Ponzi schemer Bernie Madoff. While the sentencing judge may suggest where Jackson should serve any prison time, inmate placement is actually determined by the Bureau of Prisons based on a variety of factors, including medical needs. Jackson's lawyers say he requires continued treatment for severe depression and bipolar disorder. Live in the newsroom,
turn to WGN for complete coverage of tomorrow's sentencing. Our live reports begin tonight at 9 from Washington, D.C. We'll have all the latest, as always, on our website as well. Go to WGNTV.com/Jackson.
Please go to that We are going to be having updates here. You never know, that's enough, Ebony. We will have updates here on the underground. And we're partying tonight at midnight, of course. Ebony said you should now give a dead man flowers. And you're correct, Ebony. That's why you give the flowers to them when they're alive. He's not going nowhere, Ebony. The people reelected a man who was in an insane asylum. Now, if that's not playing the people, people, tell me what's playing the people, people. Because I need to know, how can someone win an election in a crazy house? Was it that the second district thought the white man was messing with Jesse, that he wasn't crazy, that he wasn't wearing a wire, that he was not bringing down the government, that he was not setting Begorovich up with Robert Nyack, his campaign manager, who got indicted later on? Or the Beavers? I mean, who knows? Maybe this Danny Davis and Bobby Russ investigation has something to do with Jackson. I don't know. Speculating, blog talking how we do it. You know, that man stands accused and he's going down. He's sad. I feel sorry for his mother. That's about it. Outside of that, man, hey, you know, he brought that on his own self. You know. And that's all I'm doing that right now, y'all. I'm going to have Ben coming on to talk about a conference of contractors. You know, it's an irony that this is no contractors out there. I want to see any black contractors on there. I'm quite sure she does. We're going to probably answer that question about not having qualified black contractors out there. But we're going to see, we're going to talk about her, her conference. Jesse Jackson is gone. Is this time you gone for good, my man? Are you gone for good this time?
I should have stayed gone. When I left before, don't do me wrong, when we're together, but I keep coming back, oh Lord, for more. Understood that this time I'm gone for good. Many times I've left you, but I couldn't stay away too. My mind, but when I leave this time.
Wouldn't you just like to feel clean again? In Chicago and surrounding areas, Unique Towel Cleaning Service is the best cleaning service. We do basic cleaning and super cleaning, offices and apartment buildings. We will even clean your barber shop, your beauty shop, your spa or restaurant's towels and aprons. Call Unique Towel Cleaning Service at 773-484-5027. Ask us about our very special offer for our new clients. Call us at 773-484-5027 today and feel clean again.
Hello, this is Prentice L. Allison, founder and president of SPSI, Service Perfect Solutions Incorporated, a network of financial service professionals teaching people how to use life insurance and annuities to retain more of their income and pay the least tax on it. Our toll-free number is 877-902-9048. We are proud to have serviced more than 500 clients, national and international, from ages 0 to 99 for the past 30 years. My tip to you today is, if you are a business owner with at least one employee, including yourself, it would behoove you to get business life insurance. Why? Thank you for asking. 7 points I want to leave with you. Your premiums are tax deductible. Your policy bills cash tax deferred. Your cash reserve inside the policy is yours to use tax free. The policy will replace your income if death occurs prematurely. The company will pay the premiums if you become disabled. The policy will return all premiums to you when you retire. Last but not least, make sure your agent is well experienced in business life insurance. Stay tuned for more tips on how to use life insurance and annuities to help yourself today and protect your family and business tomorrow. This is Prentice L. Allison, president of SPSI. Toll-free number is 877-902-9048. I wish you well, and to God be the glory.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as 20 bucks a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Yeah, we did my Jesse Jackson rant, but he's going down tomorrow. We're going to have a special show on that. But like I said, I'm going to take a break from that little rant, and we're going to get into disadvantage and minority contracts tours. And there's a convention coming up, and I got my sister Susan Statney on, and she's about to tell everybody what's going on. How you doing there?
I am doing excellent. Thank you for asking. Yes, the conference is scheduled for next Saturday, August the 24th. The Construction Industry Conference to Strengthen Disadvantaged Businesses. And embedded in that name is really what the conference's purpose is all about. For so many years, the construction industry has been dominated by non-minority, non-women-owned, non-disadvantaged businesses. And there will be over $50 billion of construction dollars coming into our communities, into our city and our state over the next 5 to 7 years. And so this conference was conceived as a way to help disadvantaged businesses in the construction sector, to help them build capacity in their businesses so that they would be able to be better positioned to go after some of those contracts that are coming, that have already come, that they've missed out on. So this is why we really developed this conference, to help these construction companies build capacity in their businesses, be able to meet new businesses that they can actually do business with, to engage with city, state, county, and federal procurement officers to talk about upcoming bid opportunities that will exist within their particular organizations, as well as to learn how they can actually go after those contracts.
Yeah, that sounds nice, because there are a lot of rumors and bad innuendos out there that there are not a lot of qualified minorities. Or let's say the new, which is new to me, the disadvantaged, veterans, because I see that's been pushed around. They're not saying that's bad, but there's been not a lot of light shed on that. But they're saying that they're not capable of handling such, let's say, like a project like the flyover here in Inglewood. There's no contractors that's probably capable of handling that, or the project that's on the Dan Ryan. The city is difficult to find contractors to handle that. In this conference, will there be contractors there, or people to, or ways for people to either get notarized or known that they do that work, or let's skip that. There people that
you know, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Let me kind of go back a minute. Let's step back a moment and try to approach what it is that you are saying. The first thing I want to disclose is that when you look at the most recent census that was taken, you know, people are able to self-identify what they are, who they are, and what they do. And so 8,700 said that they were a construction company, owned a construction company in the Chicagoland area, 8,700. Now, we know that not all of those individuals that made that declaration really have companies. Many of them are one-person operations. But the fact of the matter is that many individuals feel that this is an industry in which they want to actually work, earn a living, and participate in. Much of what has been disclosed and discussed and commented on over really for years and years and years, that there really aren't enough minority-owned, and you mentioned the word, as I termed in my conference name, disadvantaged businesses, to really do the work that is out here. Well, the fact of the matter is there are a few sizable minority contractors that tend to be the ones that get the same work, that get the work all the time. The same ones get the work all the time. And so what happens is that the bulk of the construction companies that are minority and women and disadvantaged don't really get to participate in these billions and billions of dollars that are being let. And that's not to say that even those that do participate are anywhere near as large as some of the Caucasian-owned construction companies, but there are some that are fairly significant in terms of overall net gross revenue, maybe $20, $30, $40, $50 million in this area. But the bulk of these businesses are small, and the bulk of them are so small that they really aren't able to effectively bid because they don't have capacity. Now, that's a word you hear a lot. And what does capacity mean? It means simply that you have a company that can do the work, that you have a staff that is capable to do all the things that are required in order to fulfill the project if you were to get that project as a job, if you were to win the bid. And so many of the minority contractors really end up being more likely to become subcontractors for the bigger contract construction companies. But even as a subcontractor, you still have to have the capacity. That really is the important thing. You've got to be able to do the work. There's a lot of outcry going on that, you know, there aren't enough minority and disadvantaged businesses being let into the game, and that the playing field isn't level, and quite honestly, it isn't. But much of this is really due to these companies not really having the knowledge and having the skills and the experience to do the work. If you've been, as a contractor, a person that's primarily, let's just say you've been a person that's been doing residential kitchens and bathrooms, and a lot of our contractors fall into that category, well, all of a sudden really think that that person can move to now becoming a viable candidate to win a contract to build a building, that's a far stretch. So it's preparation, and like with anything, you've got to get yourself prepared. Yourself as a business owner means that you've got to be prepared, and that doesn't mean that you have to do all the work, but that means that you have to be able to lead the ship. You've got to lead that business and have in your operation people, talent that can do the work, that you manage. And so this conference is designed to help provide some of the skills that many of the small to mid-sized construction companies simply haven't had the experience or the exposure to. Doesn't mean they can't do it, but like with anything in any field, you can't just start doing it if you've not had the experience to do it. So we're going to have 20 education sessions, and I really have positioned this conference to be an education opportunity for these contractors. So if contractors are really serious, and see, you can't, you know that old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. We can put this conference out, and we can bring in some of the best, most learned professionals in the construction industry ever to be there. But the contractors have got to they've got to take the initiative. They've got to get up, and they've got to come. We put together a very robust program. As I mentioned, 20 sessions, everything from the basics that a construction company needs to know, how to estimate a job. Many of our construction companies don't estimate properly. So if you don't estimate properly, that means you've left out some critical areas in that estimate that will cost you money to fulfill. And if you don't get the money from the project owner, if you fail to include the cost of, let's just say, an 8-gauge nail gun that you may need in order to put 5,000 nails in, if you didn't put that in the bid, but you've got to have it, then that means you're going to have to absorb the cost, or you've got to put in a change order. Well, many don't know how to put the change order in. They don't know at what place and what time and what point in that process of doing the work to put that change order in. Those seem like some simple things, but let me tell you, they are key, because if they're not done, then the company ends up losing money. And so those are just two very critical areas in construction that have caused many construction companies to fall into a bad way. We're going to also talk about how to keep proper books. What kind of accounting program, what kind of accounting methodology should you be using as a construction company? You know, there are different types of accounting systems. There's a cash and there's accrual. Well, accounting for construction, they have a type of construction accounting called completion that they prefer that gets used. And I'm talking the industry. So we're going to teach them about the kind of accounting that's most accepted in their industry. I'm going to talk about understanding just the basics around reviewing the contract. When you go into a bid, you're entering into a contract with something, someone, some entity. So you need to be able to understand as a construction company what that contract, what those basic terms all mean, and what is that you have committed to as the signer in that particular deal. So we're bringing in a 25-year veteran lawyer, Bob Skipley, who will be teaching the understanding the terms of the contract. Then there are blueprints and plans. Again, if you're moving into talking about doing a construction project where the government or private sector companies have put a bid out there, you've got to be able to read the blueprints. Architects and engineers draw up plans that ultimately get built by construction companies. And so a lot of these construction companies may not have really had a need in the past to really read blueprints. But if you're going to move into that new sector, if you're going to make your business move ahead in a different way, you've got to understand that. So we're bringing in a gentleman who's a chairman of his company, Stanley Love Stanley, out of Atlanta, Georgia. He's the second largest African-American construction company in the South. He's coming in to teach the session Blueprints and Plans. So we have a number of exciting, well-learned professionals that are coming to teach our sessions. But beyond just the education, we also are using the conference as an opportunity for these construction companies to hear about bid opportunities that are going to be coming up from different federal agencies. So we will have the Department of Aviation, the City Department of Aviation. You know, there's always building going on at O'Hare or Midway or wherever in the aviation area. So they'll be there talking about bid opportunities that are coming up with their agency. And then the City Department of Procurement, just talking about other opportunities that exist with other types of city projects. The State of Illinois Department of Transportation is one of our major sponsors behind the conference. And so they, too, will be there talking about opportunities. The Illinois Department of Transportation, of course, is under the Department of Transportation for the federal government. And our president has made a declaration that the bridges and roads and infrastructure of our country needs to be rebuilt. And so that much of that is coming out of the Department of Transportation. And so they filter the money down to the states, and the states have the budgets that get filtered down to the communities, the cities, and towns throughout the state. And so that's a huge, huge purveyor of construction projects throughout our state. Illinois Tollway, Metro, Cook County will be there as well. Another big sponsor for us, and really our primary sponsor, is Home Depot. Home Depot, as you know, caters to the smaller construction company. That is their primary customer. And so they saw a very, very natural fit for them to be involved in the conference. And so they're coming and bringing some of their partners to the conference, basically, to be there to be supportive, because they recognize that these construction companies do well, then they'll buy that many more products from them. So it's a lot going on, networking throughout the day, construction companies getting to meet one another to potentially form deals, get into partnerships. That's something we also will be teaching them, how to form teams and how to joint venture. Another very good way for a person that may be a good carpenter and another may be a good plumber and another may be a good welder, and if those guys and women could come together and form what's called a team or get into a joint venture, then it begins to open up new opportunities for them as a team and as a joint venture to go after bigger business, because they're not going after it as a solo. Now, putting those kinds of projects together, those kinds of teams, does require skills and each of the parties understanding what their responsibilities are to one another. So someone, a very, very well-learned attorney, Michelle Cantor, with over 30 years experience, she heads the government sector for her firm here in Chicago. So she'll be teaching, and she's an expert in putting teams and joint venture projects together. She'll be teaching the class there.
That's hot. You know, I mean, your mic is on. Turn on that. Yes, because new feedback. Let me jump off. All right. Because we need this, you know. And I know you got it. You paint the broad brush with a wide spectrum of citizens, but I know a lot of minority, and I'm speaking black, that needs this as a springboard. I just saw somebody type in from Jackson, Mississippi, so they're gonna send some people down there. Now, do you talk about is it registration fee, the location? I don't know if you mentioned that, because I was writing everything down. You said, so I can make sure I put it on my page. And I was getting caught up.
I did, actually. I can get started talking about this conference because I'm so excited. I'm just so excited about the possibilities of all of us really being able to be included in this dream, this American dream that we all have. And there's just so much money out here in the construction arena that is being not equally shared by those who should be able to participate. Now, the conference fee, right now, the fee is $125. But we have a 25% discount going on because we really are trying to encourage and help to stimulate those that may feel that just a little bit less would help. You know, these conferences like these go for over $1,000. When you're talking 20 sessions, people pay $65 and $75 just for one session. We have 20 sessions. But I was so committed to the process of helping to bring these construction companies into a mindset that they could actually believe they can move beyond where they are to the next level in their business if only they could be shown how. And so we're opening the door to give them a path to success that we really want them to walk through. You can't push them through, but I'm hoping that because we've kept this price so low, everybody's asked me, how in the world can you do 20 sessions, plus I'm feeding them lunch and a continental breakfast? How can you do it for that price? Well, it's very difficult, and it means simply that there isn't a lot of money that's going to be left after we pay our expenses. But I know that because I have committed and invested in the future of so many different people by putting this conference on, that those people will someday come back to me and say, you have given me an opportunity like no other that's been presented to me in my business, and I am going to be there for you. I, Jimmy, am a surety bond agent, And so when the time comes when those guys are needing, those guys and women are going to need surety bonds, I'm expecting that they're going to come to me and say, I want you to be the one to provide that bond for me. And so us coming together, working together, and helping to build together builds all of our specific businesses. So, again, the price is $95 if they have promo code 43605. That's 43605. Our website is where they can go to register, and that is contractoradvisors.us. I'll say it again. Contractor, that's T-O-R, advisors with an S, .us. And once they go onto the site, they'll see the link to the conference, and then everything will be very clear as to what they need to do. The location is going to be at the Apostolic Church of God, which is a very large 20,000-member church here in Chicago that has all of the infrastructure inside the church for us to put on a first-class conference. They have large banquet facility, large meeting rooms, over 20 different meeting rooms for us to hold our workshops and sessions, and plenty of parking for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cars. So it keeps us away from having to take this into the expensive downtown area where just to park downtown Chicago is $48. And then you have all the costs associated with going into those other, to those union facilities. So, you know, this allows us to keep the cost low for everybody involved, including us, and that allows us to keep the cost, you know, low for the attendee. So really, no matter where a person is from, there is nothing like this that I have been able to identify. I've already been asked to bring this program to three other cities around the country. And quite honestly, you know, I haven't even given thought to that because what I know from just those requests and what I know from putting it together here, there is a huge need. The need is critical, and these businesses really know and feel that this is something that can help them. Because, you know, for so long, if you haven't really been able to find a solution to your problem, you give up. It's like, well, you know, it would be great if I could get some of that business, but I don't really know where to go to find out how to do this or do that because I don't really know it. And many times they don't know what they don't know. So we're going to have to try to straighten and clarify a lot of things at the conference.
Yes, that's great. But now I have a battle here in my studio because you said it's going to be apostolic. So I was wondering, is that Bishop Frazier? Because there are two apostolics, and I was trying to make sure we clarify which one it was for not only the people of Chicago, but for people that listen to me around the World Wide Web so they can get the address correctly because you just gave the church, not to be funky, but I want to make everybody come to the conference. I wanted to be a success because I think I know that it's really something needed because there are a lot of opportunities coming in here. And the person that typed me up in from Mississippi, I'm trying to get the quote, a quick question for the time right now. He was saying that he does ceiling and roofing and that you're absolutely correct. It's hard to get shake free from all those people that have those small contracts. I'm paraphrasing right now. He put so much in it and everything went down. I lost in the spot. But the main question was the address to the place.
6320 South Dorchester.
Okay.
6320 South Dorchester.
Okay, and that code, don't forget everybody, that code is, I told you, Brazier, my problem is it's facilities is on point. You know, it's a great place to have it at. 43605 is the code to make sure, Mississippi, that you put the code in. Okay, make sure you put that code in and tell everybody if you're going to come up here to do that awesome. How many classes are you going to have that day? I knew you said classes. Are they
20 sessions.
Classes? 20 sessions.
Yes, there will be four running at a time. So a person will select which class, what session they want. Can I read off a couple of the sessions?
Sure, not a problem. Go ahead, give us that 25 minutes. We have no problem. It's all your time. It's all for you.
Oh, okay. Here are some of the sessions. What's required to run a successful construction business? important to know that. What elements you need to have in place so that your business is operating properly. Another session is surety bonding, the fundamentals for establishing and maintaining a successful surety program. Now, let me just tell you here, listening audience, a lot of these small businesses are so afraid of the word surety bonding. They have found, they have learned, they have thought, they have known that over the years they have just simply not been able to get their businesses bonded. And that has been pretty much the truth. If you are a construction company that aspires to work in any governmental facility on any governmental contract that is over $125,000, you will need a surety bond. And so what we're going to be teaching at this session is what a surety bond is, how you go about preparing your business so that you can become bondable. There are some very specific things that you need to do in order that your business can become bondable. Many of our businesses think and feel that we cannot become bondable. That is not true. You just need to be very clear on what it is that you do need to do in order to position your business. So you see, what we're trying to do with this conference is help to build the capacity. We know that nothing is going to turn around overnight. Rome wasn't built in a day. But if you put a business on the path, on the proper path towards success, if they follow the primer, if they follow the steps, if they take the guidance and leadership that's going to be given to them by the professionals that we will have training on that day, they will begin to put their business in a position where they can become successful ultimately one day, 16, 18, 24 months down the road. And then that's when the change should really be seen. Working on private sector projects, we're bringing in the chief diversity officer from Exelon. And here in Chicago, that's ComEd, but he is for Exelon nationally. He's coming in, Emmett Vaughn, to talk about how to work on private sector contracts. I mentioned already the process of teaming and joint venturing that's going to be taught by attorney Michelle Cantor. The importance of accurate financials. We're bringing on a CPA who's worked in the construction industry. She has her own financial business, but she has worked with many clients that are construction businesses. And again, as I mentioned earlier, the accounting for that business, that industry is a little different. Liquidated damages is another topic, working with general contractors, certification basics. If you are, in most cases, looking to do any work as a minority, disadvantaged business, female-owned business, or veteran-owned business, there are benefits that you accrue if you are certified as whatever of those nomenclature you happen to fall under. So the process of getting certified is one that's a little bit arduous, but it's important because they are trying to really sift out people that are not really what they claim to be. So we're going to have that process, the process of being certified from the chief diversity person for Metra, as well as the management supervisor from the Central Management Services for the state of Illinois.
I just want to add one interject because, you know, I did just take a sneeze, and you said you have somebody there from Metra?
Yes.
Okay, go on ahead. You know, breaking news that, you know, I have friends that are really plugged in and trying to bring contracts to the African Americans. They ain't no really fake politicians. This is people from the people doing things. That's why I just want to put a pin in that. I'm sorry to disturb you. Keep going on. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. No, stop me at any time. And so the process for getting certified from a Metra certification and the process of getting certified from the state are different. So there will be two different individuals talking about the differences in the types of certifications that their agencies have. And then we have vice president of Chase Bank. He's the area manager. Coming in, Ron Atkins, and he's going to be dealing with securing lines of credit and bank loans and what to do to build your business credit profile. That's very important. You've got to be able to work with banks as you build your business, and a lot of businesses don't know how, not just in construction, but in many industries where small businesses exist. They don't really know how to work with a bank beyond just using it as a depository and check writing place. Also sharing on that panel will be Dun & Bradstreet, who is another one of our sponsors, and they're going to be talking about building your business profile with Dun & Bradstreet and what those advantages are. Then another session is estimating and change orders, and I talked a lot about that earlier. Another is 8 ways to get federal contracts, the pros and cons of the mentor-protege programs. We are bringing a gentleman out of Austin, Texas, Doug Rittenmeyer. Doug Rittenmeyer spent 35 years in the federal government and oversaw more than $1 billion worth of construction for the federal government. He is a knowledgeable, very highly experienced gentleman that's going to talk about how you win federal contracts. He has a lot of secrets. And the exciting thing about this man, his background and his experience is awesome. But the other thing about him is that he trains and has his own classes where he charges anywhere from $2,500 to $10,000 per person. And so now he's coming to my session where people are paying $95. It was actually funny when I spoke with him. He was like, "Do you know what I charge? I charge sometimes $10,000." But he knows what he's doing. I am a believer in that. So if construction companies feel like they're ready to move into the space of working with the federal government, this is a man that you want to hear. Another one of our sessions is working with wanted to ask a question. Working with the union. That's another critical area in our city particularly, and understanding really what the requirements are in order for you to become a union person. Another session is scheduling, prevailing wages, terms of the contract, procurement. Doug Rittenmeyer is going to do another session, the 7 keys to federal construction profits. In the last 30 months, he helped 43 construction companies win over $460 million in federal construction money. Another session is project closeout. What happens when you get to the end of the project? There is a whole process that must be gone through called project closeout. Understanding, interpreting blueprints and plans. I mentioned that already. And then our final session is construction payroll, the advantages of outsourcing. Payroll is a huge problem for construction companies, huge. And many of the smaller construction companies really don't have the infrastructure to manage payroll properly, to make sure that those taxes and all of those specific requirements from the federal and the state are paid. And when those payroll taxes aren't taken care of, when your payroll is not paid, and those things can lead, they can be a death for a construction company. So we have a company coming in that's going to talk about, no matter how small your company is, you can outsource that service to a company like them, and they specialize in construction payroll outsourcing. So those are our 20 sessions. Again, companies have an opportunity of determining where they want to go because they know what they need. We just want to make sure that we had as much available to them so that the experience that they have when they come on August the 24th to the Construction Industry Conference to strengthen disadvantaged businesses will really do that, strengthen their business and put them one step closer to being a really successful business. And our theme is, and move from just simply thriving to surviving. That's the 20 session.
That is on point. You see, I got my producer right now. She's going on mad. We got to have you around the world before the session going off. And she's looking at people that we need to put you on. Have you been on Carl West program yet to talk about?
No, I haven't.
Here's a newsletter. What about Chicago? we got to get your stuff out there because this is like gold. I was just telling Ebony, I feel like I'm in one of those money machines and a bunch of dollars are coming out. And I just can't grab all of them because at the short time, I'm like, man, it's so much a wealth of information that a whole lot of people got to get access to. And I see, I'm sitting over here, got my producer signing people, like listing up places, not trying to be your manager or anything, but I feel, I'm not in construction with myself, but I feel that this is important. You see, information like this, if I am a politician, so let me be political for a second. It's information like this that wouldn't get Bobby Rush in trouble if he could just had a conference and let individuals know how they can get bonded and what Metro needs to get bonded and see if they're certified, and then they can go through all of that. You really ain't got to get nobody, $50,000 to find people, contractors, overseas contractors getting hired. You see, like I said, there was a false belief out there that black contractors were not out there, or there nobody, like you said, capable of doing it or can meet the capacity. And that's one guy said, Mississippi. He said the key word when you're doing contracting is people say they can do the work, but they can't meet the capacity. And that is a lot, and that holds up a lot of projects. And sometimes when they do the project and it does not fit to the person, they sue the contractor, the contractor went out of business, the insurance person ended up getting the, get the blump of the bill anyway. But listen, I'm going to put you on hold right now. I'm going to give you my assistant. I don't want you to go nowhere because I want you to come back and talk about an event that's coming up this September. Hold on, Susan. Ebony, why don't you get the information so we can go and get this set up.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing to you the livest black college in the land, C.A.U.
Upon a time not long ago, when we wore cross colors and lived life slow, between pen and Jews where the breezeway stood, somebody said party and it all was good. I had a little voice inside my head, so I looked into the mirror and I slowly said, boy, you about to bleed wine and gold, go hard on the yard and live out cold. You got the baddest band in the land at the game, Marching Marauders, y'all know the name. Take it to the gym, it was more of the same. Cheerleaders who love to shake that thing. At the ballroom party, we're soft to y'all. Leave the ballroom sweating cause we dance so hard. I'ma rep this place to the casket drop, cause a CSU party don't stop. The greatest story that's ever been told. 1400 Brush Road Road. Tell it all day, it'll never get old. The mighty Marauders, maroon and the gold. I remember when I came, I was just a little lame. Got my convocation card stamped, got up in the game. Stood in the line for financial aid. When my refund came, I was major paid. I knew that it was on when the homecoming came. We gon' beat up on somebody at the homecoming game. The bag gon' go out, step it up, show out. Home team wins once again, it's a blowout. The AKAs and the DS team. SG Rose and the Z5P. KA5I5s and the Q's. A5As and the Blue 5 Blue. Organizations and all of the calls. Survive the tornado, we will not lose. From Wesley to Hallie Q Brown. Anywhere you meet us, it's about to go down. Go down. The greatest story that's ever been told. 1400 Brush Road Road. Tell it all day, it'll never get old. The mighty Marauders, maroon and the gold. From the windows to the wall. Wild Willie to the residence hall. From the Union, the Merce to the gym to the field. We run with the best, cause we're just so real. Football, baseball, track team, more. Volleyball, hoop team, get it on the floor. I need the excitement, love the allure. I came back out, this is y'all's encore. I put my time in, work to get mine in. This train is rolling, go ahead and climb in. All my alumni, homeboys and homegirls, I surely miss y'all since y'all be gone. If you went to Central, then use a Marauder. Meet up in the yard like, welcome back home. So get on the wagon, come join the crew at the hottest HBCU. This is the greatest story that's ever been told. 1400 Brush Road Road. Tell it all day, it'll never get old. The mighty Marauders, maroon and the gold. The greatest story that's ever
been told. 1400 Brushrow Road. Tell it all day, it'll never get old. The mine and marauders, maroon and the gold, and the gold, and the gold.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Rising, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Rising offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rising. Visit us online at phoenixrising.com.
When were you last on an amazing vacation? I'm Tracy Lewis, leisure travel specialist with Pogo World Travel, and I'm here to tell you that you don't have to go it alone when planning the vacation of a lifetime. So the next time you're looking for expert advice on that perfect vacation, you've got Pogo World Travel every step of the way. Visit our website at gowithpogo.com today and find out why they say, go with Pogo World Travel and discover your dream of vacation come true. When were you last on an amazing
Do you hear that sound? Well, that's the sound of back pain. Are you tired of nagging and persistent back pain? Whether you're suffering from a chronic condition or a recent injury, don't fret. Chiropractic has proven to be a natural and holistic alternative to pain medications and surgical procedures. Visit Dr. Todd Tucker at our Water Tower location on Chicago's Magnificent Mile for a free consultation and exam. Call 888-535-2381 to get started with your personalized treatment plan. That's 888-535-2381. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the news is to you. The live is Black College in the land. B.A.
Drew! All right, Susan. I played that little intro because there's a game coming up, and I know my alumni chapter has a whole host of tickets that we're trying to get off. We're trying to pack the game. So I want you to tell my little audience what's happening in down here in Chicago.
All right. On September the 21st, the Chicago Football Classic will host their 15th Classic, and playing is Central State University, which is also my alma mater, versus Morehouse University at Soldiers Field, again here in Chicago, and the time is 4 o'clock. And we really, really need everybody in the listening audience to gear up to come to Chicago to partake in this game. It's a really wonderful outing, great family fun, lots of food, lots of people coming together. The camaraderie will be fantastic, and this is a great way to support college football. Proceeds from the game go to support both Central State and Morehouse. Of course, you know, colleges, small colleges particularly like these, are always in need of money, always in need of revenue, always in need of working to keep their doors open. So the Classic is another vehicle by which these schools can help to raise money to help educate young, gifted minds of African Americans and others that potentially will be able to matriculate at these schools. So I'm a very committed person. I served on the board of directors for the Central State Alumni Association for quite some time, the national body. And so I'm very, very committed to helping young people to not only find their way to college, but helping them to stay in. And so that's what the proceeds from these games do. So we spend money on a lot of things, but this is good money spent for a good cause.
Yes, yes, that is so true. But listen, I'm going to let you go. I want to have you back on next Tuesday, and then because I heard you talk about 2 hours, I have you on 2 hours so I can make sure I get everybody out to this conference. Quite sure, let me tell you what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to plug you in because it's nothing but my water love. When you're a tree, that's how we got to do for each other. But let me ask you
this
question. What's your take on, I don't know if you're a congressman or not, but fallen Congressman Jesse Jackson, who's going to just get sentenced tomorrow, because we're having a whole show tomorrow. Matter of fact, might be a little party, but we're having a show tomorrow on that. But what's your take on the tragic fall of Jesse Jackson Jr.?
I think you just hit the nail on the head. Tragic. He's such a gifted young man, such a gifted man. to have fallen prey, fallen victim by whatever lure was or was out there that could have possibly caused this to happen. You know, I just, it was very heartbreaking. My husband was very, very close to the Jackson family. He's now deceased, and particularly close to him, to Jesse Jr., and this is years ago. So I have a particular fondness for him, and I just, all I can say is, you know, my prayers are with the family as they go through this sentencing tomorrow. And it's not going to be something that is going to be easy by no means, because the thought of having to spend time incarcerated is a thought that it's just inconceivable to me. And I certainly wish him nothing but the best, and his family as well.
Well, that's a good way to end the balance of our show. I'm not going to front, because we smashed him for a half an hour, you know, for a whole hour. And we're going to smash him again tomorrow. But you don't know how I appreciate the yin and the yang, because you got to have the balance. It's so smooth, but it is a tragic. But, you know, hey, people did believe in him, but, you know, what can you say? The man was bipolar. But listen, and get this, Jim Lee's Underground Radio Network. Thank you all for tuning in. I got my alumni sitting in the building. We're going to make sure this conference is packed. We'll have on next week, next Tuesday. And she might talk for 2 hours to make sure y'all don't forget about it. And we're going to try to have her everywhere. So goodnight, everybody. May your God be with you. All right, Susan, I'll talk to you in a minute. Love you.
Thank you. Good night to your audience.
Bye-bye. All right, pretty please. Yeah. I'm